Today's passage is Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. But let us read verses 1 through 4. This is the reading of God's word. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And I will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. O Father, grant us an ear to hear your voice through your word, telling us beautiful and wonderful stories of our Lord Jesus Christ, and telling us about our eternal home that our Lord has accomplished for us, our eternal heavenly reality that our Lord has accomplished for us. Oh, Father, as we hear your word, let us be more and more like your Son. Let us live for you and for your glory. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We come to verse 3 of chapter 21 of book of Revelation. We are looking at the new heaven and the new earth. We are looking at our eternal home, heaven, the true temple of God, the new Jerusalem. We are looking at our eternal heavenly reality, and we see how beautiful and holy we are, eternal bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, the true church that Christ has accomplished. And you do look beautiful in the sight of God. Today, we are looking at verse 3, which says, And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. Now, there are many ways to describe heaven, but what you are looking at in this verse, verse 3, this is what the heaven is all about. This is what the eternal life is all about. This is the eternal purpose of God. The Christianity is not about do's and don'ts. And some people understand our religion in those terms, what we need to do and what we can't do. But real Christianity, the true Christianity, according to the Bible, is about the relationship. God is our God forever, and we are his people forever. God and his people are together forever. God and his people are in forever joyous relationship, joyous fellowship. This is what heaven is all about, and this is what Christ has completely and perfectly accomplished for us. God is with his people. Thus, our Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect picture of heaven. Why? Because he is God and man together. He is the perfect union of God and man. That's what heaven is all about. God and man together. But what is amazing is that because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us, you and I, we too are the perfect pictures of heaven. When we look at Jesus Christ, He is God and man. When you look at me, I'm also God and man. I'm not God. Don't misunderstand that. But who lives in me? God does. And He is united with me. So I too stand here as a perfect union with God and man. God lives in us. And this is the ultimate purpose of God from the very beginning. God wanting to be with His people forever and ever. And you need to understand that this is the ultimate purpose of God. And we see this in the Garden of Eden. It was a place in which God and Adam and Eve had joyous fellowship. God was with them. Thus, it was a type of heaven. It pointed to our eternal home. And if Adam had not sinned, then he would have been glorified, and the heavenly reality that the Garden of Eden was pointing to would have been perfectly realized. But he sinned. And Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden. It was a picture of being abandoned by God, a picture of hell. Now, even if God would forever abandon all of men, we would have nothing to complain. But the gospel is about God through the second Adam, Jesus Christ, perfectly and eternally accomplishing the eschatological purpose of God, the heavenly and eternal purpose of God. And that is what we are looking at in verse 3. I hope you are able to look at heaven through these verses. What do you see? The sight is indeed glorious. God is with His people. And God is having perfect eternal fellowship with His people. In verse 3, we see that the eternal purpose of God is completely accomplished and consummated. All has been perfectly accomplished. Though Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden, through the Old Testament, God promises the eternal reality of heaven, and through Jesus Christ, He accomplishes it. The purpose, God promised the eternal kingdom of God in which God is with His people forever in joyous fellowship, through His covenant, and now in our verse, that purpose of God is perfectly accomplished by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, I want all of us for today look at the whole Bible and see how this ultimate purpose of God is being accomplished. We start from Genesis 17. Now, we're going to look at so many verses, and I'm going to wait for all of you to find the verse, then we read, find the verse, then we read, because there are just too many verses. I'm going to just keep reading. Maybe it will be good just not find these verses, but just listen. Just hear the word of God. Genesis 17 verse 7 says, God says to Abraham, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants for after you. In Genesis 17, we see God reaffirming the covenant that he had made with Abraham earlier. This happened when Abraham was 99 years old. God changes Abraham's name to Abraham, and God promises to Abraham that God will establish his covenant between him and Abraham's descendants throughout their generation for an everlasting covenant to be God to Abraham and to his descendants. God will be their God, and they will be his people. God promises that he will be with Abraham. This promise is to Abraham and his descendants. God is all near God. He is God the Savior who is with his people. And let us, through his word, meet this faithful God. In Genesis 26, verse 2 to 4, we see God repeats the same promise to Isaac, a son of Abraham. Genesis 26, verse 2, and the Lord appeared to him and said, Isaac, do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and to your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham, and I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and will give your descendants all these lands, and by your descendants all the nations of earth shall be blessed. Now, as you know, Isaac had a son named Jacob. And we see in Genesis 28, verse 13 to 15, God repeating the same promise to Jacob. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants shall also be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Now, as you know, Jacob had 12 sons, and the 11th son was named Joseph. And in Genesis 39, verse 20 through 23, we see Joseph imprisoned. But we see also that God is with him. Verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him, and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. Then verse 23, the chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. In Genesis 48, verse 21, Jacob tells Joseph, behold, I am about to die, but God is with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers. Then after 400 years, we see Joseph's descendants living in Egypt as slaves. So they cry out to God for their freedom from the bondage. And in Exodus 2, verse 24, we see God remembering his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Joseph. So God sends Moses to Pharaoh, and God tells Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 12, certainly I will be with you. And this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. The Pharaoh refuses to let God's people go. So God again reaffirms the covenant that he made to Abraham in Exodus chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. God says, then I will take you for my people and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the burdens of Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. Then God brings out the Israelites from the land of Egypt. As they travel to the land of promise, we see God with his people. God says in Exodus 29, verse 45 and 46, God says, and I will dwell among the sons of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. God commands them to construct a sanctuary for him, that he may dwell among them. God says in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 11 and 12, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul will not reject you. I will also walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. So the Lord dwells in the midst of the sons of Israel. We see God carrying the Israelites just as a man carries his son. And God is with them as the rock, the glory cloud, smoke, fire, thunder. God dwelt in the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle, in the midst of his people. Now they arrive at the land of Canaan. Moses is now dead, and the new leader is with them, Joshua. God says to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Now we see God is surely with Joshua and the Israelites as they conquer the whole land of Canaan. After the conquering of the land, the Israel is now governed by judges. God says to one of those judges named Gideon in Judges chapter 6, verse 16, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. We learn that God is with Samuel, the last judge. Then the United Kingdom period begins. And need I say more about God being with King David? God says to David in chapter 2, I mean 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 9, I have been with you wherever you have gone and have cut off all your enemies from before you. Then Solomon, the son of David, is to build the temple of God. God comes to Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 13 and says, I will dwell among the sons of Israel, and I will not forsake my people Israel. So Solomon built the house of God and finished it. And we see God coming into the house of God, the temple, in 1 Kings chapter 8. And in verses 10 and 11 we read, and it came about when the priests came from the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Do you see it? Thus the Lord is now midst of his people. God continues to be with his people. Even after exile, you know, Israelites, they sinned and they were kicked out of the land of Canaan. But even after exile, we see God through his prophets reaffirming the covenant that he had made with Abraham. Isaiah 53, verse 1 and 2. But now, thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, meaning Israel, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 37 and 38. God says, I will bring them back to this place and make them dwell in safety, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19 and 20, and I shall give them one heart, and shall put a new spirit within them, and I shall take the heart of stone out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances, and do them, then they will be my people, and I shall be their God. Ezekiel 37, verse 26 and 27. God says, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them. And I will set my sanctuary in their midst forever, my dwelling place. Also will be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. Sing for joy and be glad, daughters of Zion. For behold, I am coming, and I will dwell in your midst, declares the Lord. And many nations will join themselves to the Lord in that day, and will become my people. Then I will dwell in your midst. And you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. So you could see throughout the Old Testament, God promises to be with his people. And in a typological way, God was with them. God was with them in the tabernacle. God was with them in the temple. But the perfect and complete fulfillment of this promise came in the person of Jesus Christ. And let us go there. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Let me read from verse 21. Chapter 1, verse 21, Matthew. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. This was prophesied by Isaiah. Do you understand that Jesus himself is God with us? His name is Emmanuel. John chapter 1 verse 14. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled or dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, glory of as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Yes, Jesus Christ is the Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is the fulfillment of that promise that God will be with his people. Now Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12 says, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But verse 13 continues, but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Galatians chapter 3 verse 19 tells us, and if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Do you see it, brothers and sisters in Christ? If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Thus, the promise of God to Abraham is not for ethnic Jews, it is for you. It is for me. It is for all those who are in Christ. So all those God's promises in the Old Testament that He will be with His people, He was actually talking about you. All of us who are in Jesus Christ. We were with Christ even when He was crucified on the cross. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 and 5 tells us that we were made alive together with Christ. We were raised with Christ. And we now seated in the heavenly places with Christ. Do you see it, brothers and sisters in Christ? All our true Christian experiences that the Bible speaks of are in Christ and with Christ. Do you understand? When you and I, we talk about what is true of us, biblically, we cannot say anything apart from Christ. See how absolutely Christ is with us. Everything about you is with Christ. You know, Bible even says, before the foundation of universe, God chose us in Him. Even choosing you, before the foundation of universe, He chose you in Christ. The true Christian experiences, none of these fake ones that these people talk about, these fake ones, the common grace kind. You know, I had a cancer and now I'm healed. You know, none of that. That's a common grace. Non-Christian can claim that too. Non-Christians, they have cancer and they are healed too. But true Christian experiences that the Bible speaks of is always with Christ, always in Christ. Jesus tells His disciples in Matthew 28, verse 20b, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, He promised His disciples, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold Him or know Him, but you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, we read, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not of your own? The Holy Spirit is now living in us. We are the temple of God. We are the holy of holies where God dwells. God is with us in a very special way. We are His people and He is our God. And God is with us even in this worship. 1 Thessalonians chapter 9, verse, chapter 5, verse 9 and 10 states, for God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whatever we are, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, God says, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I want all of you to see how the promise of God to Abraham has been fulfilled in your life and in God's church, his people. I want you to see how that promise that God will be our God and we will be his people, that God will be with us, how that promise of God is completely accomplished. That is your reality right now. I want you to see it and be very happy. We are a part of this awesome plan of God. Together, we are a part of this awesome plan of God. Jesus is coming back, and all will be visible one day. And look at our eternal heavenly reality in Revelation chapter 21, verse 2 and 3, the passage that we are reading. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. Do you see it? Heaven is Emmanuel, God with us. And in verses 6 and 7 we read, and he said to me, it is done. I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to those one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. That's what Christianity is all about. God with his people. Because of sin, that was not possible. Because of sin, only thing God could do is to condemn and judge and punish. But because of Jesus Christ, the ultimate purpose of God has been accomplished. And from the passage that we're reading, we see the perfect consummation of that purpose of God. This is what is true of you. This is your reality. This is how you are forever and ever. God is Emmanuel God to you. He's always with you. This is why we long to go to heaven. Because even though we experience this reality, even today, we want it to be visible. We want it to be completely, perfectly consummated. Yeah. But I want you to understand that even before we go to heaven, this is your reality, your spiritual heavenly reality. No matter what happens in your life, you know, you will find yourself, and next time, next week, next week is Lord's Supper. Week after that, we're going to look at verse 4, and we're going to talk about, you know, sufferings and, you know, difficult times that we face. No matter where you find yourself, what circumstances you find yourselves in, always remember your heavenly reality. This is not our imagination. This is what is real to us, that God is with you. Even now, He's with you. Even now, He is with you and wiping away your tears. This is our heavenly reality. So be glad. Be very happy. The awesome, eternal salvation of God has come upon you. He who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I am coming quickly." And all of His people say, "Amen." Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace upon us. We thank You for Your word, and through Your word we see our glorious eternal reality of heaven. Oh Father, it is amazing. It is glorious. And we pray that it will be visible very soon. Oh Father, we thank You that You are Emmanuel God, that You are with us, that You will never leave us, never forsake us. But You are always with us. We thank You that we are able to be with You now and forever. Being with You in joyous fellowship, in joyous relationship. Oh, Father, even now as we worship You, we taste how good that is. And we want more. Oh Father, bless us, God, that we may know how good You are. We thank You, God, and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.